We don't raise these last kids like we did the first one. She said, we couldn't do nothing. When I was little, I couldn't do anything. Couldn't go nowhere, couldn't do anything. These kids do what they want to do. Well, that ain't a fact, but I'll say this, we've mellowed out. We've mellowed out. And with gray hair, a lot of times you little wisdom comes along with it. And I still preach. I feel the same old message Brother Arliss have always preached. I stand for the same things, the same convictions, but I feel like I do it in a different way. And I know that some folks can't handle it however you do it. They can't handle it however you do it. But I want to stand, don't you? Preaching under the title, I Have the Victory Over. And we got up to the point this morning in the message in chapter 3. The children of Israel, I preached to you, this is the battle of the unknown. God spoke to Joshua as he sent the officers throughout the camp. And he said, you've never been this way heretofore. You've not been here. This is the battle of the unknown. We fight battles that we don't understand. But if we'll march on, see the word. God spoke the word to Joshua. Joshua said, I'll tell you when to stand still. I'll tell the priest when to carry the ark. And I'll tell you what to look at. You're not to look at man, but you're to fasten your eyes upon that word, upon that covenant of God. And if you fasten your eyes upon that word, when I speak the word for you to march forth, the victory. We've come to the place of victory, but will we receive the victory? Some come to the very brink of the Jordan, but they don't cross over. Some cross over, but they're not willing to work at what God says. You know, there was an altar built. There's a memorial built. There's a price to be paid for every victory that we get. There's a price to be paid. In Joshua chapter 4, we're going to preach a little while. Help us tonight. Now, I'll tell you, folks, this has got a hold of me. This has got a hold of me. Things that I've seen in this, it may take me a while. I may not get past one point in this, but if I don't, that's all right. If it takes me a month of Sundays, and I'm not exaggerating, if it takes me 30 Sundays to preach this, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to try to preach it in the way that God gave it to me. Several places, and we want to go ahead and jump the gun and get ahead in this, but I believe God's having me tonight to deal. We stated to you this morning, there's something we have to do in order to get that victory and then keep it. I probably won't get to that tonight, but we're gonna focus actually on verse number 2 and verse number 3 tonight. If the Lord be our helper. Chapter 4 of the book of Joshua, verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm. I want you to remember that, firm. 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribe of the children of Israel. Notice verse number 6, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel. How long? Forever. You can be seated. I want to continue and preach a little while tonight. Now, I'm going to have to give you some definitions before we go any further in this. We all know that there was 12 stones taken, number one, because there's 12 tribes of Israel. There's 12 tribes, the 12 sons, and there's a man out of every tribe taking a stone. This is the main reason. But the number 12 meant meaning government. And as I thought about this, I tell you, my mind just began to run away with itself today. We read to you, I believe it was back a few services back in a message we preached in the book of Isaiah, that Isaiah stated, I believe it was in the book of Isaiah, that there's going to be a son born, a child's born unto us, a son is given, and his name shall be called. First he said, and the government shall be where? Upon his shoulder. Now this is very important that you understand this. The government's going to be upon his shoulder. And said his name's going to be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And the next verse says, verse number 7 in Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it is, verse 6 is in 7. It says, and the government shall be upon the government, and the peace shall be upon his shoulders. And there'll be no end. There'll be no end to this government and to the peace that's going to come from this. Take me just a moment to get in this, but I want to read you a definition we wrote down. Government is the act of governing, or authority, if you will, or control. Everybody knows we have a government here in the United States of America. Why was this government set up? It was set up, somebody has to be in authority, don't they? Now, it was set up in the right way to start with. In God we trust. Then we've got to realize some of our leaders of old, the presidents of old, that through history says that they found them in time of wars or times of trouble, that they would call upon the name of God, that they'd realize, just as Jehoshaphat did, this battle, God, I can't fight this battle, but you can. This battle, David said, God spoke to him, this isn't yours at all, but it's the Lord's battle. We got to realize there is a government, there is a controlling individual over us, but the main government is God's government. You see, the government as we know it, this authority as we know it right here in the United States of America, it could fall today, very easily could it fall. But this government that I'm talking about, that Isaiah spoke of some 725 years before Christ was born, he's speaking of this government that he said, the government and peace, there'll be no end. Hallelujah. Even here in this life, folks, we know there'll be no end to it. The peace of God, and here, it won't just end when we leave here. It's going to keep right on going. Do you know that even in heaven, there's going to be government? There's going to be control in heaven? There's going to be authority? Why do you think that Lucifer was thrown out of heaven? He come against that authority of God. He come against that government of God, exalting himself to be above God himself, and said, I will exalt myself. That tells me, before you and I were here, before the United States was even in existence, Brother Arliss, there was a government. In the heavens there was a government. No one can come above that authority. But as I begin to look at this, I thought, I'm going to get out here and preach to you in a minute. But as I begin to look at this, government is the act of governing, authority, or control. And I thought how that God has given Jesus this. You see, he's exalted above everybody. He's exalted above the angels, Brother Arliss. He's exalted above principalities. That's what Isaiah's seeing. And as I look here and I see, now everybody, you see, God didn't leave anyone out. It's not the big I's and the little U's. As they crossed across that Jordan, everyone's clean crossed across the Jordan. God spoke to Joshua and he said, now I want you to choose your 12 men from the 12 tribes of Israel. And I want each one of them to go back into that place where they walked across, where the priest's feet stood firm on dry ground. You see, I believe, folks, that there's something very vital about this. The ark of God was carried upon the shoulders, and now the government's going to be upon an individual's shoulders. Here these stones are carried, Brother Arliss, upon the shoulders. He didn't say pack it in your hand and carry it across, but he said every man of the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, choose out 12 of them, meaning government. I want them to go out there in the very place. God, you see the reason for this, folks. The victory hadn't come yet. They had to go across that Jordan River. The Jordan's flowing out of the banks. The devil would cause them to see this is the place. This is the battle of the unknown. They didn't know what they're getting into. They didn't know how the battle's going to be fought. This battle's fought entirely different than the next battle's to be fought. If we're not careful, what we find ourselves getting into is people of pattern, Brother Arliss. If one service went where the Holy Ghost is moving and everybody's jumping and they're speaking in tongues and interpretation, people laying in the floor, we want to come back and do it all over again. But it ain't always that way. Sometimes God chooses an entirely different direction in this. Every battle we fight, folks, we have to pray, get the mind of God. We have to pray and know His voice, whether it's to stand still or whether it's to march on in the victories that's ahead. Listen, if I could, I would state tonight, there's stones. I'm going to jump the gun just a little bit. It'll take me two services to preach this next thought. But the stones that was carried from the victory side back to where they were, folks, I can tell you tonight, these stones that are brought out, they are representing victory. These are the victory stones. They're brought out of a place of impossibility. And God says, I want them placed in an area. Everybody can see where you're going. They're going to Gilgal. They're going to the lodging place. It was at Gilgal that God spoke to many of the prophets of old, that He showed Himself and revealed Himself. The angels of the Lord would speak to them. And I thought as I begin to meditate, Brother Arliss, upon this, the government meaning authority, I can tell you, folks, we've come into a generation don't know what it is to come under authority. Brother Terry Edding said when he was in the military, they'd push you to the limits. And you had to, if you didn't listen, I can tell you, as was it Jesse Duplantis said, I'm not a Jesse Duplantis fan, but I've listened to him a few times. And he said the reason why God don't call some in the ministry, they'd have problem holding their pamper up. They couldn't fight and hold their pamper up. They're babies. I can tell you the reason why. The reason why, folks, today they can't take the authority is because they've just lived a life to self, Brother Arliss. Nobody else makes any difference. What other folks feel doesn't matter. I can tell you, we've got to get to a place. The Bible says not to please ourselves, but for every man to please his brethren. If we get to a place we could do that, we'd have no problem with the government authority. I'm not talking about, I have a problem with some of the government authority here as we know it in the United States of America. And I have a problem trying to go along with some of it. And then saying that all religions lead to the same place, that's a bunch of hogwash. I can tell you that, folks. But I'm talking about the government authority of God. We should never have no problem with that. And as God began to speak, listen, folks, that devil's doing everything he can to take this King James Bible. I thought today, I told Brother Mike I was going to send some of this literature back to Louisiana. He said nobody reads the King James Bible down there. You can't hardly find a church that'll preach out of this old book. I said if they had me to come down there, I'd preach out of this old book. But I thought, folks, that this here, the stones that were being set up, what are they being set up for? I read it to you. It's for a memorial. It's for a memorial that the days to come were there. We're in those days today. That the children of your father, when they begin to ask, what means this? These stones. I can tell you, there's an entirely different interpretation of what the stones mean today. You know what a stone is? It's firm. It's solid. It's not easily moved. And as I looked at this, the priest's feet stood firm. God placed that for a reason. Meaning, they weren't wishy-washy. They weren't sinking. They stood firm. They'd heard the voice of God. They're standing there till they hear the voice move again. It doesn't make any difference who come by and said, "Preacher, you're getting a little hard. Don't you think you ought to ease up? Preacher, won't you take that load off your shoulder? You don't have to do that." But God said it did. I can tell you, friend, it's just like we preached back several, maybe a year, year and a half ago. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. The Ark of the Covenant was not to be put in a new card. It was to be borne upon the shoulders of the Levites in the priesthood. And now the priests have that load upon their shoulders, and they're standing there. And I can tell you, this wasn't no easy task. It took a while. You're talking about millions of people that walked across of the Jordan on dry ground. And the Bible says the waters were cut off. Don't ever forget that, he's saying. I want the stones to be placed there, that in the days to come, that everybody will know what God done. Everybody will know what thus saith the Lord said. The Lord of all the earth, he stated in chapter 3. It's not just the Lord of the Israelites, but the Lord of all the earth is going to do great wonders. And now the government, he's illustrated here the authority in this. It's for the whole world. It's not just for the Israelites or for just America. That the whole world may know in the generations to come. I can tell you, dear friend, this generation deserves, they deserve to hear the same old gospel, Brother Smith, that we heard. And who was it? Sister Pamela stated, when that Pentecostal preacher, simply meaning an experience, he had an experience of Pentecost in his life. And when she heard him preach, it convicted her, and she had to run to that altar. Now, this generation deserves to hear that same gospel preached. You'll not hear it preached out of these new translations Bibles. You'll hear the hand of God preached, but not the face of God, not the government of God. They don't. It's not got the truth. It's got some truth, but it's not all truth. Even the New King James, and it just hurts me to no end to see. If you begin to compare, now I'm not saying there's not some truths in it. There's some truths in the Harrison Daily Times, but there's a whole lot more that ain't true than this. There's some truths on Fox News Channel, but there's a lot that ain't truths, Brother Arlen. I wouldn't want to bank my soul on it, would you? I wouldn't want to believe in it to the place that I think it could get me out of this world. But let's get back to the 12, to the stones. Something about those stones. God said, I want you to go right in the midst of that Jordan. It's still dry, by the way. They go in the midst of that Jordan, and they pick them up, the right stone. God says, it's going to be there forever. Do you know they're still there today? Those stones are there for memorial. The stones haven't changed, but people have. I can assure you, the message that would be given today by folks that went by there, if some young man asked of Grandpa, what does these stones mean? He'd have a different interpretation than what that they had in Joshua's day. He said that they'll know This is the God that does miraculous and wonderful things. And he does it to people that's willing to be set apart and sanctified, separated from the world. And I'll hear the voice of God. As I looked at this today, and I thought, this stone, there's something about it. You see, he could have said, now I want you to get you a man out of every tribe, 12 of them. And this still means government. I want you to go out there and hew you down a cedar tree. I want you to go out there and I want you to get a sycamore tree. And I want him to build this memorial out of that. But he didn't do that. He knew these stones would be there to the end of the world. They're still going to be there. And he said, I want you to go out there. It's everlasting. Folks, you can deteriorate this word any way you want by degrading it, by rewriting it. But I can tell you, the Bible says it's forever settled in heaven. It's still written in the tables of our hearts tonight. And we ought to rejoice knowing that I tell you, folks, we could have been born somewhere. Brother Arliss, or been taught somewhere. There's folks that wouldn't be doing it the way they're doing it had not they been taught that way. But they know no better because they've not had any right teaching. They've not had any right teaching. This stone. In the book of Genesis chapter 28, you know the story. Jacob has deceived Esau. Oh, it makes brother mad. Big brother got mad. He's threatening to kill him. Well, his mother tells him to flee to Laman's house. And as he did, he's taking a journey. This is the battle of the unknown. The battle of the unknown. But God's going to bring a great victory. He lodges at Bethel. The first night out. No doubt, Brother Arliss, he's questioning in his mind, God, why? My own brothers threatened my life. My mother sent me away. Why has all of this had to happen? And as he lays there that night, you know what he took for a pillow? He found some stones there. It wasn't one. I always said a stone, but it's stones. He took some stones and he laid them under his head for a pillow. And as he laid there that night, God began to speak to him in a dream. And God began to say to him how he's going to bless him. And he said, I'm going to be with you wheresoever thou goest. I'm going to be there. I can tell you, dear friend, the battle of the unknown ain't quite as bad, Brother Guy Woodruff, when we know that God's going before us. He's making the high places of our lives low. He's making the crooked places of our lives straight. Listen, folks, every battle we find ourselves in, if we'll just listen to the voice of God, God begin to speak. He's got his head up on a stone. It doesn't seem like much, but I can tell you, when he got up from there, Jacob said, I wouldn't take $1 million for this night experience. I wouldn't take $1 million for this stone. And guess what he done? When he's there dreaming and he saw a ladder from earth up to heaven, God's saying, you have access if you'll just reach out for it. Jacob, you've got access. Brother Arliss, you got access. If you'll just reach out tonight in the battle of the unknown, there's a victory. You got access into heaven if you'll reach out tonight. Now Jacob's laying there in that dream so wonderful. He saw angels and they're ascending and descending. I mean, they're here where he's at. They're going up and they're coming down. And he wakes up the next morning. You know, the first thing he does, he takes those very stones that night might have seemed to have been something awful or horrible. But after this experience in the heavenly, he took those stones and he stacked them up there for a memorial and he anointed them. I can tell you, friend, if we'll allow it, I believe everything that the devil means for wrong, God will turn it around and mean it for good in our life if we'll allow him to. If we'll allow him to. You know the story. I'm going to deal with stones tonight. The authority, the government, not of man, but of God. In Exodus chapter 17, I believe it is the children of Israel. It's come out of bondage. It's some of the same ones that didn't make it. They didn't receive the victory. They'd get the victory occasionally, but it's hard for them to keep the victory. Evidently, they kindle the old die. I get the victory occasionally, but it's such a battle to keep it. I mean today, in Exodus chapter 15, read it for yourself. It says, Moses and the children of Israel began to sing what? The victory song. Woo! Oh, it's easy to sing that victory song. The Red Sea is behind us. Pharaoh and the army's drowned. And they begin to sing about it. The Lord hath graciously triumphed over our enemies. The horses and the riders hath he drowned in the sea. And they begin to sing this. And they said, he's our God. We'll make an inhabitant for him. He's our father's God. He'd been that for generations. But they're just now acknowledging. What a victory. The Red Sea's parted. And the whole world knew about it. The inhabitants of the heathen land said their hearts melted and they feared, Brother Arliss, because they heard the God of Israel parted the Red Sea and he drowned Pharaoh and the Egyptians. It's easy to sing that song. We've just crossed the Red Sea. But you better start to recuperate in the battle. There's another battle ahead. In the second month, in the 15th day, 6 weeks ahead, or the 14th day, maybe it was, 6 weeks ahead, they come to a place that they begin to murmur and begin to blame God, and they're ready to go back. Folks, I can tell you, just because we've got the victory today doesn't necessarily mean we'll have the victory tomorrow. When I was younger, used to smoke, and I can tell you one of the greatest battles I ever fought, trying to get victory over smoking. I quit 1,000 times. I throwed pack after pack of cigarettes out the car windows. I've heard people that's bound on alcohol or drugs, Brother Arliss, and they'd quit every week of their life. They'd pray through God, give them the victory, they'd quit. It's not the greatest battle to get the victory. It's the greatest battle to keep that victory, dear friend. You'll have to get up every day and sell out to God. If you don't, the pull of the world will consume you and pull you back in. That's the reason I'd go back and buy another pack of cigarettes. One day, God give me the victory. And he said, it's up to you. The choice is yours every day. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve and serve him. Now you get up in the morning if you've got a battle in your life that you're battling with and you know that you've prayed through the victory, no telling at the times, and God give you the victory. You'd make it a day, 3, 4, 6, a month, and you'd go back into that same thing. They say those that they sent to the alcohol meetings, that they'd say, you got to confess you're an alcoholic all your life. That's a lie straight from hell. If the AAA's trying, or whatever they call them, Alcohol Anonymous, if they're trying to deliver, of course you're going to be an alcoholic all your life. There's no delivering in the authority of the government of man's hands has no authority to take care of this inner person. But when we get it out of man's hands and put it into the highest government there is, that he said this government will be upon the shoulders of Christ. And if I be in him and he be in me, folks, there isn't anything that can come in my life that I can't pray the victory and then keep the victory. And the only way I'll keep victory is keep my eyes upon him. Don't ever lose sight of that ark. When they went across, they're going across. You know how they made it across the dry ground and the victory? He said, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord thy God, when it moves, you move with it. You move with it. And if we don't keep our eyes upon the Lord, and when he moves, we move with him. We're not to stay in the same place. Those Israelites couldn't have lived in the Jordan. But he said, I'm taking you where I promised you. I'm taking you to. I'm taking you across. In the book of Exodus chapter 17, we're trying to get to this. The Lord had spoke to Moses. Now, if you look in the first part, you look in chapter 16 and chapter 17, I believe that's right. Let me look at it and make sure. chapter 17, Exodus chapter 17. If you look in chapter 16, you'll see the people begin to murmur. And they asked Moses this question, is the Lord among us or not? Well, I'd say in this situation, not. If we're going to complain and murmur and whine and pout, more than likely God ain't going to sit in all that confusion and garbage. But as he goes on, and now God speaks to him, to Moses, and he said, tomorrow you're to rise up and you're to bring your man and fight against Amalek. You see, this is an entirely different battle. The singers of Jehoshaphat's not going forth. It's the man that's handy with the sword and the spear and the shield. I can tell you, friend, God chooses different artillery in every battle we fight. We have to be sensitive to hear his voice. And he says, I want you to send them out, and I want you to go up on the top of the hill, and I want you to take Aaron and Hur, your brother-in-law and your brother, and you go up there, and you hold up your hands in that battle. And Moses went up on top of that hill where he could see and where he could be away from everything that would interrupt him from being in tune with God. He's holding his hands up in that battle. And the Bible said when Moses held those hands up, Israel prevailed. I can tell you it wasn't the valiant man that's getting them through that battle. Listen, folks, every battle we've ever been in, it's not the government of man. It's not the ability of man or the authority of man that's got us through that battle. But it's the hand of God. Somebody prayed for you, or you prayed for yourself, that got you through that battle. And as I begin to look at this, you see, every one of us have a flesh nature. And guess what? The flesh gets weak, and the flesh sometimes wears down. Moses' hands were heavy. After a period of time, the Bible says Moses' hands begin to fall. And when his hands begin to fall, the children of Israel begin to lose that battle, and Amalek begin to prevail, or to destroy them, if you will. Could I say today, the very reason we're in the condition we're in today, you can't go to many churches that's got enough of God to even raise their hands. I remember as a young Christian, really sold out to, when I really sold out to God, I was shy and backwards. Maybe you can't hardly find that possible to believe, but I was shy and backwards. I remember Bobby Woods was saying the other day, the gentleman we was talking about that went to prison last Monday, he said, you remember Leo when we was in school? We had a teacher named Mr. Lee. He was a Free Will Baptist, I believe, preacher. I know he's a Baptist preacher. And he knew that I sang. I don't know how he found out about it. But he asked me one day if I'd sang to the class. And I said, no. They kept on after me. I mean, I couldn't hardly do anything and look at people. And I told him, I said, if you'll make everybody turn around, I'll sing. And I remember he got me up there. He made every one of the class stand up and turn around. Bobby said the other day, he said, Leo, you remember when you turned around, or had the teacher, Mr. Lee, had everybody turn around, you sang to us at school? And I said, I remember that. I remember that. I couldn't sing as long as they was looking. But when they turned around, I could sing to them. But I thought, as I begin to look at Moses here, Brother Arliss, he's got a human nature about him. He begins to weaken, and he begins to go down in heaviness of the hands. And the battle, he knew, he could see that Israel is being defeated in that. And also could Aaron, his brother, and Hur, his brother-in-law, and the Bible says they stayed the hands of Moses. They stayed the hands of the man of God. Listen, folks, I started to say a moment ago, I remember when I was a young preacher, really, me and Diane hadn't been married a long time, and I'd sold out to the Lord. And I remember in services, I'd feel the power of God, and the Lord say, raise them hands and praise me. Boy, I just couldn't get them up there. It felt like they weighed 1,000 pounds each. And I'd get them up to the side of my seat about like that. And I'd finally manage to get them up about like this. You know what that means? Half mast means death. And the Lord showed me my life's not to be dead. I'm alive in Him. And I can tell you when the weights lifted is when I got them high in the air. I began to exalt His name. I began to praise Him. I didn't care what the one beside me is going to think. I didn't care what the one back behind me is going to think. If they thought, well, he's going to make the service go an hour longer, I didn't care. I'm in tune with God. And when I got those hands elevated high enough, they hit the waves of heaven. You see, folks, that's what it's all about. When they're down here, it may be the government of man. It may be man-pleasing we're trying to do. But when those hands reach the right place, there's certain waves. And when they reach the right place, the highest government ever known to man is the government Isaiah spoke of. There'll be no end to it. And the peace is there with it. And I can tell you, Brother Arliss, there's peace like a river begin to flow when I got in the channel of God. Aaron and her, sometimes we need to encourage and help one another, do we not? Aaron and her, one on one side, one on the other, they stayed the hands of the man of God. And the children of Israel won the victory in that battle. But not only that, him being weary, his whole body's worn out. You know the responsibility and the battle that comes in this mind, I can just about assure you that as Moses is on top of that mountain, that devil's trying to bring back every bad thought. Those Israelites said, if you read chapter 16, the early part of chapter 17, you'll find out Moses stated to God, Lord, they speak of stoning me. They almost be ready to kill me. And I can just about assure you, in the human nature weakness of man, that in that battle, Moses is doing everything in his power to stay through to the channel of God. But that devil's speaking in his mind. And no doubt he might be saying something like this. Now, I didn't say this is 100% gospel, but he might be saying something like this. Let your hands down and let him kill every one of them. They speak of killing you, Moses. You ever have the devil to speak to you, and because somebody said something to hurt your flesh, that you think, well, I'm tired of messing with them. I'm just about through. I'm going to mark them off. I've said that a few times, and my wife rebuked me in the name of Jesus. You know what Jesus done to Peter? He looked at him, called him Satan, said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're offense. You don't savor the things of God. And hillbilly terminology means that you're not living for the things of God and you're not speaking the right things. It's the flesh. We find ourselves so many times getting in the government of flesh, the realm of the feel good, the nature of the flesh. When Peter was put in prison, James had already been killed, and the Bible says Herod sought to take Peter's life because he seen it pleased the people. That authority, and because people want it, that's what he's going to go with. Not necessarily that's what he wanted, but that's what the people want. I dare to say that in the majority of the churches today, the preacher's not listening to God, he's listening to the people. It ain't what God wants, it's what the people want. I like to please people, but I done found you can't. One says it's too hot, and the other one says it's too cold. One says it's too loud, and the other one says it's not loud enough. One says the seed's too hard, and the other one says it's too firm. Oh, well, let's go on. You're doing better before you got in that. You can please God a whole lot easier. All you got to do to please God is just listen to that voice. He says, stand still, stand still. He says, move forward, move forward. When he says, put the stone on your shoulder, put that stone on your shoulder. In this incident, but I love this story. There's a stone. Now, it didn't have to be a stone. I can tell you this. up on the mountain, up on that hill, the Bible says, as he stands there on that mountain, overlooking the battle and interceding for the children of Israel, I can tell you this, they were some trees there. They were some root wads, some stumps. They were something else there other than a stone. But for some reason or another, I believe I know the reason, God said that he told Aaron and Hur, they took a stone and put it under him. He sat up on that stone. What's that typifying? That's typifying the authority, the government of God. I've got my hands elevated. I'm in your hands now, God. I'm standing or sitting up on the stone, however it may be. Folks, that we realize, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 28, Isaiah prophesied again some 725 years before Christ. And he talked about this child, this son that was coming, or Christ is going to be born. And he said that he's going to be a stone, a sure stone. A stone is going to be put in Zion. Where's it going to be put? Right in the house of God. Going to be something other than the traditional things of man. It's going to be the highest authority ever been. It's a sure stone, a solid foundation. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke of it. This is the stone that the builders rejected, which became the head of the corner. This is the stone the builders rejected. Now, this could very well, and as it's been mind-boggling to me, he's building the church. But as I see this number 12, the Israelites coming across, the number 12 typifying government, it's not the government of man, but it's the government of God. And now I better understand what Jesus was saying. They rejected that government of God. They're looking for a Christ that they can set up on a throne here, not a Christ that's going to live in here. They're looking for somebody that can set up and see. They've been too much in love with the things of this world. Listen, folks, we can't be in love with the things of this world. We've got to go beyond that. And we've got to let the Spirit, man, listen, every day of our life, you've got a problem in your life overcoming something. You'll never overcome it without God's help. He's the highest authority there is. He's the government. He's the highest government there is. And if the peace is ever to come, it'll be because we reach out to him, not just on Sunday morning, not just occasionally, but that we reach out to him every day of our life. And if we do that, I can tell you this, dear friend, everybody from generation to generation, I can tell you one thing, this gospel's not being preached like it was when I was a kid. Knowledge is increasing. Everybody wants to get their vocabulary just right. I can't hear, can't see, can't spell, can't talk. Sometimes I feel like Aaron. I want to say, Lord, or Moses, say, Lord, I'm not a speaker, and I sure ain't no speaker, or I'm sure not no speaker, is how you'd say that, I guess. I'm not a speaker, but boy, when the Holy Ghost comes, when my help comes, I can sure let him talk through me. And that's what makes the difference. That's what makes the difference. Anything I've got to say won't be real beneficial anyhow. But what he has to say will be worth listening to every time. It doesn't matter if it's being spoke through me, through you, through the mouth of babes, or come forth perfect praise. Whoever's speaking, if it's the words of God, it'll be worthy to listen to. It'll be worth your attention. I can tell you that. Sometimes we get a lot of times, and I can tell you, folks, I'm changing a lot. You that's been here for years can see I'm changing a lot from what I used to preach. And we do that. I guess with age, we just simply do that. Not necessarily the message, but the method of preaching. I told Brother Johnny here a while back, I said, son, looks like he's going to blow the top off his head when he's preaching sometimes. Veins are popping out. I said, something's going to pop one of these days. Now, I can tell you, and I know when you're younger, you're able to do that, Brother Arliss. He knows what I'm talking about. Brother Smith knows what I'm talking about. But sometimes I have learned that it's not altogether in how high we jump, how fast we run, how fast we preach it. But I can tell you what it's in, hearing from God and then letting you be the vessel He pours Himself through that somebody can get that message of the hour. Let me go one more place real quick and I'm going to come to a close. The Lord made sure that He told the children of Israel, this is a vital thing. I believe every one of us, I hear people say a lot, I want the very best for my children. Now, we wouldn't be much of a parent if we didn't want the very best, would we? But in most cases that that's being spoken, it's spoken entirely wrong. We want the best of the material. We don't want our daughters marrying men that are perverts, that'll two-time on them and treat them like a dog. I'm going to say this, I probably hadn't ought to, but you know I do a lot of things I hadn't ought to. Diane's shaking her head. Stop your ears up, honey. Andrea's, or Kara's, I don't know why I always say Andrea, Kara's boyfriend, Joe, came from Missouri. Was it Thursday? I don't know. Friday? Thursday? He followed me around like a little pup following a boy with a hot dog. In fact, Brother Mike went outside. He had a sandwich and the kid's dog. He said, I took one bite of it and I put my hand down. That thing like took my fingers off. Took that whole sandwich right out of my hand. And it made him mad. He said, I don't like cowboy at all. And that's the way Joe's following me like cowboy was Mike. I knew something was up. I just ignored him. I ignored him for a day and a half. Well, first I let him follow me to the corn patch we're fixing fence. Got rid of him real quick. He didn't last long, and he took off with Kara to eat and didn't come back. So I didn't have him that day. And he'll probably listen to this on tape. I don't care. I'm just stating facts to you. Brother Arliss, it was funny. I was out working on a vehicle Friday. He'd come out to the shop, said, you need me to help you? He ain't never said that before. I said, no, I reckon I got it. I'm tearing the transmission apart. I reckon I got it all under control. I walked in the shop. Jacob went another direction. Jacob's helping me. He didn't want to say nothing while Jacob's there. I knew exactly what he was going to say. He said, I've been wanting, and then he hushed. And I just walked on like I didn't hear him. He followed me on over by the toolbox, and I'm down on my knees doing something. And he said, Brother Leo, I've been aiming to ask you. He said, I think a lot of your daughter. And I just stopped and looked at him, and he said, I think a lot of your daughter. And I've been thinking about asking her to marry me. And I wanted to ask you first. And I said, I think a lot of folks, a lot of people, I don't ask to marry me. I said, don't ask somebody to marry you just because you think a lot of them. I said, you're asking the wrong person about this. And I had him all dumbfuzzled. He says, well, I don't mean I just think a lot of her. It took him a while to say it, but he finally said it. I love her. And I told him, I said, Joe, I just sat down and I talked to him. I said, I've got confidence in Kara. But I can tell you this. I said, when you're around, she don't seek God like she does when you're not here. And I said, maybe the same way in your life. Maybe you don't seek God. All you just want to do is Google eye one another. And I said, if it's going to hinder her in the ministry, then I believe God's going to reveal that. If it's going to hinder you in your walk with God, somebody might say, preacher, that seems a little hard. That's very necessary, mister. And I'd say the same thing if it was your daughter or your son as it, if it's mine. This is a very big step. And I said, here's what I'd say to you. You insist, talk to God. And if God says this is ordained of Him, then you've got my blessings. If God doesn't say that it's ordained to Him, you don't have my blessings. I said, let's just look for a moment. I said, right now you see things entirely different. Someone asked me today after service, I need to do some teaching or preaching one on marriage and divorcing. And I do, and I'm going to. I can't do it tonight, but I'm going to hit this a little bit. I said to him, Brother Arliss, I said, right now you're looking out of eyes entirely different. I said, 2 years from now, when sis weighs 50 pounds more than what she weighs right now. Oh, when Kara hears this, she's going to blow up, ain't she? Brother Larry, ain't it true? We see things entirely different, don't we? Diane, just stop your ears till I get through here. She's going to make me quit preaching this. I was preaching perfectly good till I got on this too. But this is necessary, really it is. I was in all sincerity. I was serious. We better know what love is. We better know what love is. Love isn't lust. Love isn't lust. And I can tell you, you better not try to put your bride up there with Princess Diane, put her on a pedestal that somebody else. I don't want anybody looking at my wife. And I said to him, I said, 2 years from now, she might gain 40 pounds and she might not. We did. In fact, in a few years, I gained 100 pounds. But are you still going to love that same one that weighed 119 pounds when you married when they hit the scales and it says 200? Or are you going to say it's time for divorce? Now, folks, this is serious. This is serious. If we're going to keep the victory, I believe we better keep victory in our marriage. First, it has to stay in our lives. We keep victory in our marriage. Not saying that sometimes things won't get bad. Not saying sometimes you don't have to work extra hard to keep that victory. Things aren't always as pleasant as we think they ought to be to the flesh. But Brother Larry, we've got the victory. Look, we can just keep marching back. These stones are stones of victory, typifying the authority. My help comes from authority, a power that's the highest power there ever was and ever will be. And if we just keep going back, these stones were placed there for the generations to come. But all through the time of the children of Israel, you search it out. As they're going through in battle, keeps going back, and God keeps visiting them there at that memorial. It's a place God visits. I got the victory over bondage of my life. I come across that Jordan, and I left everything behind. And if the Lord be our helper, I guess it'll be next Sunday morning before I get to continue on with this message. But if the Lord be our helper, we're going to get the 12 stones, take them back to the Jordan. A whole different aspect, a whole different message of what this typifies. The stones that are being carried back. I appreciate you tonight. Appreciate you listening and helping me preach. Now, folks, Diane, she don't understand. I'll let her preach next Sunday if she wants to. You want to, hon? She'll help me. She don't understand. Sometimes I say some of these things like this, and maybe I'll listen to this tape. I'll tell you next Sunday whether I ought to say it or not. But I'm just using this as an illustration. Do we love in word and deed, or do we love in truth? John said we're not to just love in word or in deed. That's good to love that way, isn't it? It's good to tell somebody you love them. It's good to give a gift or show something in love in a deed. But truth is the best love that'll ever be given. John said it's not just to be given in word or in deed, but in truth also. So, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and be any praise, think on these things. If we do that, I believe the victory could stay much sweeter in our lives if we could do that. Someone would come get us a song. We want to open these altars tonight. I felt the Lord here. I felt the Lord here in a great way. I believe, folks, every one of us could say, we're fighting battles of unknown. Perhaps God's bringing us to a place right now we can just feel the victory. We can just feel the victory. Listen, when He does that, we have to go on. Listen to the still small voice of God. Go on to a higher ground. Gilgal was a higher ground, a higher level. Somebody said one time, higher levels mean bigger devils. If you're ever going to be anything, you know, I was probably 45 or 6 years old before I was ever sued. Nearly, probably 48 years old. I said, I've lived this long, ain't never been sued. And why, old timers, wasn't no such thing as that much. But now, somebody sued us over a road right through our yard. Didn't ask us about it, they just sued us. It's a lot easier to talk to a lawyer than it is to somebody. I'd hate to think I couldn't talk to a preacher quicker than I could talk to a lawyer. It'd be worked out a whole lot more simpler. But we're living in a time, folks, that people don't want to put things upon the high authority in government, that there's not going to be an end. They just put it in man's hands and make a mess out of everything. Make a mess out of everything. Everything that man has set his hands to, he's messed up. But if it's the authority of God in it, oh, it'll be sweet and it'll bring peace, won't it? Stand with us tonight. I want to ask everyone here tonight, whether it's your seat around the front, if we'd seek the Lord, if we'd ask God to help us, wherever we may be in a battle, the victory's right at our fingertips. Let's ask God to speak that we'll know, my sheep know my voice, He said. Stranger, they'll not follow. You're needing help in an area. You're needing victory in an area. I can tell you, dear friend, if you reach any further, anywhere other than the authority of God, you've reached the wrong direction. It'll take God to give us the victory. It'll take God to give us the victory.
So often I failed.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Him,
hallelujah.
And I brought Him shame. But it's my desire,
oh, it's my
to
desire,
live for Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. I don't need God's fame. It's my desire to live for It's my desire to help someone today, someone who may have failed to see the way. For I too once was lost, but I found my way to God. Now it's my desire to live for Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Oh, you can take this world and all its riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire to live for Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Oh, you can take this world and all its riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my to live for Him.
Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We need to desire to live for the Lord. The word says we are written epistles known, read of all men. We are to have a desire for folks to read Jesus in our life.
To live for Jesus. It's my desire just to be like Him. Oh, often I failed Him, and I brought Him shame. But it's my desire to live for Him. Oh, if you could see where Jesus brought me from to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love Him so. Oh, you can't take this world and all its riches. I don't need earth's fame. It's my desire.
Oh, yes, it is.
To
Yes, it is.
Oh, thank
hallelujah.
You, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Give us a greater desire, oh God.